Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par with me, Maury Povich, wherever you get your podcasts.
And the help we get from ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, he'll help you keep it running. Your vehicle needs some service. You want to know what the heck is wrong with it before you bring it into your favorite dealer, your favorite shop. ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns will help you out, as he's done. Good morning, Dan. I think we've had you on CCO Radio for, what do we figure, 25 years or so?
I think so. Yeah. It's come and gone a few times.
You were about 15 then, I think.
I wish.
Welcome to the club. All right. Yeah. We've already started getting text messages from our listeners for asking for your help. So let me give the phone number. In fact, the same number applies to both your car care question for Dan on the phone or text, whatever's easier. 651-989-9226. Well, we did not get as much snow as the earlier forecast were predicting, and that's okay with me.
That's okay with me, too.
Yeah.
I'm glad about that.
Yeah. In driving early in, this morning was pretty good. The crews had been out and had taken care of quite a bit of business already. But we'll be getting a lot of blowing snow, and I was thinking maybe next year, maybe even yet this year, I want to try out some snow tires. I have not done that for a long time. You highly recommend them, don't you?
I do highly recommend them. You know, my only hang-up with them is you have to store them.
Yeah.
In fact, if I didn't have to store them, I would have them myself. I think they're, the difference is night and day with the traction on ice and snow and things like that. But, you know, it requires swapping them out spring and fall, and then you got to store them somewhere. And I just don't want to deal with that, so I'm willing to put up with the little slipperier conditions.
But yeah.
They're incredible. And if you have a place to keep them, then I think it's a great idea. Yeah, they work great.
All right. I know, just a reminder to our listeners, Dan, Dan will be with us till just about 7:45. So if you have a question, don't wait. Sometimes we run out of time and we still have some questions. We want to help folks out, get some answers. So call it in, text it in, and Dan will help you out. Here's a text, Dan. 2008 Hyundai Azera. Battery loses power, especially when cold. Dealership said it's the radio. Remove the fuse. After this week's cold, battery dead again. What could be the problem?
Well, they're on the right track in that when the battery's going dead, it's going dead for a reason. The first most obvious reason is that the battery's in poor condition and not holding a charge. The other obvious reasons would be if the alternator's not recharging the battery all the time properly like it's supposed to. And while you're driving the car, the battery needs to get recharged, or it'll go dead eventually. And the final thing, and the thing that they're looking at now, is that there's a parasitic draw, meaning that something that you turn the key off, get out of the car, you after a period of time, sometimes a minute up to 15 minutes, all of the computers and the radios and the amplifiers and all of that stuff goes into a sleep mode, like your computers, in your house. And when that happens, then there should be very, very little draw on the battery, just enough, a little bit of keep alive memory in the computers, but the battery will keep up with that. And it sounds like what they're chasing on this one is something's not turning off like they think it's supposed to be turning off. And that can get tricky, chasing that down. If indeed the battery's good and if the alternator's charging and if something's not shutting off, there's a test that we do. We put an amp meter in series and check the circuit. And if it's not turning off, we know that. And so then they're doing the right thing. They're pulling fuses and they think they pulled the right fuse, but there must be an additional one or something like that that's still happening. So I think what you should do is take it back and have them get another look at it and have them recheck their work, because obviously something's still staying on. And the thing that makes it really tricky is oftentimes that thing that's staying on is intermittent. And that really makes it hard.
I guess. 651-989-9226. That's the number for text or the phone call for Dan Burns. Here's another one. We get questions about CVTs, those transmissions. Texter says, what is your experience with Subaru CVT transmissions? Are they as reliable as geared automatics?
In my opinion, yes. We've seen no particular trouble. It would not be my advice to stay away from a CVT transmission. It also wouldn't be my advice to look for one. So I guess I'm completely neutral on the topic. If you find a car that you like and it happens to have a CVT transmission, there's no reason to stay away from that. I think it's just fine.
I know in the past, Dan, you've tried to explain what's the difference between, what is a CVT? What kind of a transmission is that made up of?
Well, it's kind of like a snowmobile. It's got an infinite number of gears instead of just four or five or six, like, you know, modern day geared transmissions. And the transmission shifts automatically with the load and the RPM and the speed of the vehicle. And I mean, it doesn't really shift. It moves, constant velocity or constantly variable transmission is what it's about. And it's there aren't gears. It continues to move based on load, speed, and RPM.
Okay, very good. Let's see. I know we have to break here in a couple of minutes. By the way, you can call in your car care question or send a text. Same number, 651-989-9226. Here's a text, Dan. It says, "I 1999 Ford Ranger 4x4 with a 302 with 271,000 miles. I had new brake lines put in recently, and my ABS light comes on and off. Is it something I should be concerned with?"
Well, anytime you get a light relating to brakes, you should be concerned with that. If it just started with since you lost hydraulic pressure, and if you had new brake lines put on, that's what happened. There could be air in the system, and that could be causing the brake light to come on, although more likely that would be the red brake light, not the ABS light. So I think what you should do is take it in and have the computer scanned, because the ABS light's been on, there'll be a code stored in there, and then you can see what it's related to. If it's related to hydraulic pressure, yes, you should be very concerned about that, because that can get dangerous. If it's related to a speed sensor or something like that, you don't have to be quite as concerned, because if the ABS light's on for a reason like that, then when the light is on, the ABS system is disabled, but the hydraulic pressure would be just fine. In other words, the brakes will continue to work like an older fashioned car. The ABS system just won't be involved.
Gotcha. All right, Dan, hang on. We'll take a quick break here, inviting our listeners to join in. Keep in mind, again, Dan will be here till just about 7:45. So if you have any kind of a car care question, you want to chat with Dan or send him a text, 651-989-9226. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We have Dan Burns with us, ASE certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive, which is located where, Dan?
Well, we are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, right on the heart of Grand Avenue. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, LLOYDS, lloydsautomotive.net, or give a call. We're open Saturday mornings too, 651-228-1316.
Very good. We'll get you that phone number before Dan leaves us. And by the way, Dan will be with us till about 7:45 this morning. So if you do have a car care question, call it in or text it in. Again, it's the same number, 651-989-9226. Bunch of text messages, and we have some leftover from last week as well we want to pick up on. Here's one, Dan. It says, a 2016 Ford with an electric power steering, it stopped working. The repair shop replaced the battery, and it worked again for about a week, and then the power steering stopped. I shut the vehicle off, turned it back on, and the power steering worked again. Any thoughts on what the actual problem might be?
Yeah, more computer related, because by replacing the battery, they disconnected power to that to the power steering computer or the power steering rack, and then when they hooked the battery back up, of course, it reset everything and rebooted, and that worked. And then they did that. You did that again by turning the key off and turning it back on, and so that worked. And that's actually all good information. And for some reason, they were not getting any good information at the time that the power steering had failed. So it might take for you to take the bring the vehicle into the shop, tell them this whole story, and then leave it with them long enough for them to get the power steering to actually fail, so that they can see what's missing and what's going on. Is the rack itself bad? Perhaps, but more than likely, it's more of a computer or a sensor type issue. So I think if you take it back and tell them the whole story and let them get another shot at it, they'll have a little better luck with it.
Very good. Here's another text, Dan. A 2008 Dodge Caravan, a yellow wrench light came on last night. What could that mean?
Well, that means you need to bring your car into your favorite shop for service. It's a light that turns on with, maintenance, and it's telling you that. I'm pretty sure that, all those lights are all different, but I'm pretty sure on that vehicle it's just the maintenance light. And if you bring it in for service for an oil change and for its current mileage checkup, they'll do the service and then reset that light for you.
I've seen that before in one of my vehicles, and that's exactly what it was. I think it was an oil change, I think, something like that.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a wrench, and sometimes it says maintenance required. They're all a little bit different, but usually it's just maintenance.
Okay, let's go to the phones. John is waiting there in Minnetonka with a question. John, you're on with Dan.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I have a 2013 Ford Focus. I recently had an oil change that included a tire rotation. During the service, they informed me that my rear brake pads needed replacing, and I thought, well, that's an easy enough job. Why don't I do it on a Saturday morning? And I took the factory provided lug wrench and tried to get it onto the lug bolts, and it could barely fit on the lug bolts, and I just determined that all the lug bolts have been buggered up so that even the lug wrench won't fit on it. One of the lug bolts appears to be cross-threaded because it's at a bit of an angle even when it's been installed. Is there something wrong with those lug bolts, or maybe they used the wrong socket, or any suggestions on how I should follow up on that or what I should do?
Well, it happens all the time. It is the fact that it's, that the lug or that the lug nuts have gotten rusted and corroded, and so that factory supplied wrench is not sufficient to do the job. And first of all, when you get the lug nuts off, you're going to want to replace them with new ones. And to get them off, oftentimes we'll have a 3-foot breaker bar that we put on them to get them broke loose. And then we also have impact sockets that will get on there, and we actually in with professional tools you can actually buy a half size. So we actually have a lug socket that would be 19.5 millimeters instead of 19 millimeters, for example, so that we can get it on there. And then you actually have to probably hammer it on there with a hammer. But to answer your question, to get those off, you're going to need better tools. The one that looks like it's cross-threaded on might very well have to be broken off. And with a long lug wrench and a breaker bar or a pipe extension, you can put enough leverage on that to break it off. And if you do, that's not a problem. When you're doing a brake job, you'll just have to replace that lug bolt and then take care of it from there. And this is big enough where you might want to bring it in and have some help.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, by the time you get all the tools that you need and all that, even if all you want to do is bring it in and get the lug nuts off and get that broken lug bolt fixed, then, you know, later on when you want to do the brakes, you can do that just fine. And everything will come off. When they put it back together, they'll lubricate everything so that it works the way it's supposed to. But that wrench you're trying to work isn't sufficient. I don't know. On a brand new car, those wrenches will work. On anything older than that, they're not that helpful. So that's why so many cars now days in here coming without spare tires.
That's right.
Because it's so complicated. You almost, you know, by the time you figure out the jack and all that, you almost can't change a tire yourself anyway. One time I was out hiking in the middle of nowhere with my vehicle, and it got a flat tire by the time we came back from our hike, you know, 5 hours later. And as I was changing the tire, I thought, if I was any less of a professional, I couldn't do this. Like, it's complicated. Those tools are probably not sufficient for the job.
Well, I've seen you rotate the tires before, and not only do you use your air tools, but when you've got that car on the pavement, on the ground in your shop, you use a torque wrench, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so that they get tightened properly, and whoever worked on your vehicle last obviously didn't do that, or the one lug nut wouldn't be on crooked. But at any rate, that's past. We'll look to the future. And when you put those back on, you need to be sure that they're tightened properly.
All right. Dan, we need to take a quick break here. Thanks, John. We'll have more callers, and we have a bunch of texts we're going to try to get to. And so stand by. This is our Car Care Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And we're back at it talking car repair. If you need it, your car, truck, or van, why don't you ask Dan Burns, who's an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive. He'll help you out before you bring it in for service. We've got a ton of text messages and callers as well. There's a text that came in earlier, and I don't want to miss it, Dan. I know you've had to deal with this more than once. This is a 2016 Pilot with heated seats. The seat does not get hot, and the element has been replaced. Honda says they just don't get hot, but a friend's Pilot does get hot. What else should I be looking for?
Well, I guess I would check for power and ground to the element. Be sure that you are getting power and ground. And if you are, and then we would check the continuity of that cable or of the seat pad that they replaced. And if it's warming at all, then the system is capable of working. And I don't know if it's a design problem or what, or if the Pilot changed things over the years, or if perhaps part of that new pad isn't working the way it's supposed to. But at any rate, I think you need to take that back and say, because you know, it's not a new vehicle. You've had it before. And if the seat is not getting as warm as it did before, then probably that pad that they installed is not working the way it's supposed to.
Yep. Okay. Let's go back to the phones before we run out of time. Jim is calling from iSanity with a question. Jim, what is your question?
Yeah, well, I got a 2000 Jeep Cherokee, and the alternator signal on the dash said check gauges. I checked them, and it was down to zero. Well, then I got home and turned the key off and on, because I know sometimes that'll recycle them, and it's been working fine ever since. And I also had it checked at O'Reilly's, and they said it's perfect, you know. So where would I look to see what the problem is? I got one more question, a real quick one also. That's the one about the Chrysler product that used a lot of oil. What was that gasket that you told me? It was last week, I think. I talked to you. It was a gasket you said that was maybe bad.
Oh, the intake manifold gasket. What's happening is the vehicle is sucking oil into the intake manifold because it uses a whole bunch of oil, and it's burning it through the exhaust. So you should get that fixed. And with regards to your alternator, if the light came on and the look down and the gauge was not, and the alternator was not charging at that point, then you do indeed probably have a problem starting with your alternator. It's been working fine ever since, which does happen. That's not uncommon for that to happen. So my advice on the alternator would be just stick with it and see what happens. If it never happens again, forget about it. It could have been a little glitch in the body module or whatever, and not allowing the alternator to charge. If the light comes back on, you'll need to have somebody check it during when it's actually acting up. And if that's the case, maybe you might have to have that alternator changed.
Okay. Let's grab another call from Charles in Hammond, Wisconsin. Charles, you're on CCO with Dan.
Hello.
Morning.
Hey there. I have a problem with my 2004 Sebring, you know. This thing, she ran out of gas at eighth of a tank one time on 94. It ran an eighth of a tank, but I run clean out of gas. And no big deal. I called it a glitch or whatever, but it was a week later I ran out of gas at a quarter tank. Once again on 94, you know, coming home. Mm-hmm. And then it happened again at 3/8 of a tank. And I know, like, there's gas in there. But I'm thinking, I think 3/8 of a tank is the new zero. And quarter is the new zero. And eighth of a tank is the new zero. So now I just put $10 in it each day. What the heck?
Well, let's get Dan's input here.
Well, that's obviously the sending unit, there's a float in the tank that sends that information about how much fuel is in the tank up to the dash to the instrument panel. And either the instrument panel or the sending unit in the tank aren't reading correctly. And so you'll have to probably bring it in and get some help with this. But we have machines that we can hook up to the car and actually operate the gas and the gauge and, you know, set it to a different settings and have it read. The most common problem with what's going on here, with what you're experiencing, is that the sending unit in the tank has failed. And the bad news about that is it's the sending unit, the float, the pump, the whole thing. So it's and you have to take the gas tank down to replace it. So it's kind of a complicated process, an expensive process to get at. So that's why I think it's worth to take it in and have some professional diagnosis done on it before you just guess and replace it. But I think you're probably going to end up looking at replacing that sending unit in the tank.
Okay, very good. Let's grab a text or two before you leave us. Here's a 2002 Saturn, runs well, 5-speed manual. In last week, have driven it, but on 2 days it would not do anything. Pushed clutch down as far as I could and would not do anything, then started up later. Read in a book that there is a place you can check hydraulic clutch fluid. Think it could be low? My husband said there is a safety switch. Any ideas on that issue, Dan?
Yeah, there is a safety switch, but I don't think on that car that it's part of the hydraulic system. And if the clutch is working properly, then the hydraulic fluid is probably just fine. If the pedal is at the floor, it doesn't really care if the clutch is working properly or not. So you can just know that. And there's a whole bunch of other things between the key that you're turning and the starter motor that you're trying to get cranking. There's relays, there's wiring, the battery's involved, the switches are involved. So on that, too, I think you're going to have to probably bring that in and get some help and get some professional diagnosis on it, because there's just too many things to start guessing on that could be causing that problem. So including the starter itself, the starter's an electric motor, and it's not uncommon for them to intermittently work. And that might be what you're looking at.
All right, here's another text, Dan. A fourth time a texter says, this season my low tire pressure light has come on. I know cold weather will affect this, but being new tires before winter, could this be installation error or a bad valve?
It could be all of that. I wouldn't call it necessarily installation error, but when you install new tires, it's very important that you clean the mating surface between the tire and the rim itself. You need to clean the rim off real good and get that clean so that the tire will seal properly. And then around those sensors that are in your tires, replacing those would not be part of replacing a tire because they're too expensive. You just don't replace those from a maintenance standpoint. But it is quite common for the seal around that sensor to go bad. So I think that if you take that back to where you got the tires checked and ask them to take another look at it. They'll see where the air is going, you know, why it, where, if it's leaking around the rim or if it's leaking around that valve stem. And in either case, it's not a complicated process to repair that and solve this problem for you.
I think we have time for one more text, Dan. It's a 99 1500 Suburban. After driving for about 20 to 30 minutes, headlights, only the headlights, shut off and then on. They come back on after 20 to 30 seconds. Will stay on for 2 to 3 minutes, and then that cycle continues. The repair shop has changed dimmer switch and the main switch without a solution. What would you do?
Well, it's a connection for sure. I suppose in the headlight there's also a relay that could be causing that problem. But what I would do is get out the wiring diagram, see where the or how exactly that headlight system works. And then along that trail, I would look for some place where some wiring or some connection has been hot and has started to melt a little bit. Because I think that's what you're going to find, is that it's a bad connection. And the two most obvious places are, they've already changed, the headlight switch and the dimmer switch. And so it's got to be something else. And the answer will be more clear if you're looking at a wiring diagram and seeing exactly how the system works and what components are involved.
Very good. Dan, we're out of time. How do we get in touch with Lloyd's Automotive?
Well, come on over. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give a call as soon as this morning, 651-228-1316.
What do you say we do another show next week?
I'll be there.
Okay, good deal. Thank you, Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.